Hey, everybody. Today on the Charlie Kirk Show, super important episode. Stop what you're doing and listen to every word of this. You are going to love it. But before we get into it, please consider supporting us at charliekirk.com/support. At charliekirk.com/support, that is your portal to help support us. Our team, our researchers, our editors, the travel costs, everything around the production of the Charlie Kirk Show. You know, with all the cancellation and all the bad guys coming after people that are trying to tell the truth, when you support us at charliekirk.com/support, you are saying no to cancel culture. You are saying no to the digital assassins. You are saying yes to this program. And if you say to yourself, boy, I want millions of more people to listen to this program, I just wish my kids, my grandkids, my neighbors, and more students would hear what this show has to say, that's where it all is made possible at charliekirk.com/support. As always, you can email us your questions, freedom@charliekirk.com. Action-packed episode, everybody. Thank you for supporting us. Thank you for emailing us. And also, get involved with Turning Point USA at tpusa.com. Can't forget that. Buckle up, everybody. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
I had a pretty interesting meeting that I want to share with you exclusively here on the Charlie Kirk Show. I was at Mar-a-Lago in Palm Beach, and I had the opportunity to sit down with former President Trump. We had a great meeting, and we talked about a variety of different things. First of all, it is very clear that former President Trump is not just going to give up and go into the sunset and forget about politics. President Trump is going to stay actively engaged in Republican politics and the conservative movement. My advice to him, for whatever it's worth, my conversation with him was about focusing his support, focusing his followers on the positive. And he seemed to agree. Now, without disclosing any private details, I can tell you that President Trump is going to dedicate his energy and his resources towards reforming our elections in our country. This is a primary concern for him. I was really pleased to hear this. I'm a big believer that President Trump is at his best when he's optimistic, when he is forward-thinking, when he is solution-oriented, when he is creative. I think that some of the troubles emerge when he focuses too much on the negative. And it's tempting to do so. He was mistreated. He was spied on. There were plenty of things that were thrown at him. One of the reasons why so many people adored him and followed him was his commitment to positivity. So instead of saying the election was stolen, instead, the right thing to say is, our election system was interfered with and broken, and I am going to dedicate my life to fixing it. I think that is exactly what the American people want right now. You know, I was stopped by a couple of people in the last couple days at a few events I was at, and they looked at me and they said, if you are going to go see President Trump, tell him to tell us what we can do to help reform our elections. Because if we do not reform our elections the way we actually elect our leaders, then nothing else matters. I believe that former President Trump can have the greatest positive impact on American politics, and he seemed to agree with this, by focusing his time, energy, attention, resources, and following on two things: big tech and broken elections. More than anything else, those two things are impacting the future of the American Republic and our entire civilization. We also talked a lot about some of the up-and-coming voices in the Republican Party. He's a very big fan of Ron DeSantis. It's hard to not be a fan of Ron DeSantis, because we were meeting at Mar-a-Lago where the restaurant was open and he was able to have his club open to people. You can kind of see in real time how Ron DeSantis has been an effective and proven leader in the state of Florida. In fact, even self-described Democrats that I've been talking to in the last 2 weeks of being here in Florida love Ron DeSantis. When I travel, I like to talk to everybody. I like to talk to waiters and waitresses, people that own hair salons, you name it. What do you think of the governor? What do you think of what's happening? Now, I'm sure that person is out there somewhere, but I have not met one person that has something negative to say about Ron DeSantis. And I'm talking about the muscular class. I'm talking about people that are lifting boxes. I'm talking about people that are driving cars. I'm talking about people that are not your traditional Republican supporters. But trusting the citizens of Florida to be responsible, trusting the citizens of Florida to act properly in the midst of this pandemic and not restricting their freedom, turns out to be an incredibly popular political position. And so one of my big takeaways with my sit down with President Trump, and by the way, he looked great. He actually looked well rested and more focused than any time I have seen him in the last couple of years. And that's not a criticism of him in any way. But for anyone that might think he's worn down, for anyone that might think he's lost any spirit or energy, he's full of vitality. And some people are saying, well, it's time for President Trump to go away. That's not going to happen. So instead, you should be saying, I want President Trump to use his following, his resources, his attention, his influence for good. It may be a cliche when you say you are what you eat, but it's the absolute truth. Eating the right foods ensure you get the right nutrients into your body that are essential to maintain your health and vitality. It's also true if you are not getting enough fruits and veggies every day, you could seriously be deficient in those nutrients that are so vital to your health. Can you imagine how you'd feel if you were eating 10 servings of fruits and veggies every day? Do what I do, because I can tell you from personal experience, it is a game changer, because I take 6 daily capsules from Balance of Nature. Just knowing I'm getting the vital nutrients sourced from 31 fruits and veggies every day makes a huge difference in my life. Join me and experience the Balance of Nature difference for yourself. For a limited time, all new preferred customers will receive an additional 35% off and free shipping on your Balance of Nature order. Use discount code CHARLIE. Call 800-284-6871 or go to balanceofnature.com and use the discount code CHARLIE. That's balanceofnature.com, discount code CHARLIE. So being in the state of Florida, we sometimes forget, how did Ron DeSantis become governor? How did Ron DeSantis, who was a congressman from the Jacksonville region of Florida, become governor? Ron DeSantis was a long shot in the Republican primary. This was the 2018 gubernatorial election. Ron DeSantis was running up against very popular, well-financed, well-known candidate, Adam Putnam. Adam Putnam was the heir apparent to the Florida governor's mansion, very much in the tradition of Jeb Bush, very much in the leadership dynasty of Florida Republican leaders. Adam Putnam was supposed to be governor. Ron DeSantis decided to throw his hat into the ring. Adam Putnam didn't like it. A lot of his financiers didn't like it. Ron DeSantis was down 45 points in the first statewide Florida poll. Ron DeSantis was smart, though. Ron DeSantis decided to take an early position against the Mueller investigation while he was in Congress. While he did that, he attracted the attention of the target of that investigation, Donald Trump. Ron DeSantis then flew on Air Force One and famously convinced Donald Trump to endorse Ron DeSantis while Adam Putnam was still putting together his campaign apparatus, taking the entire Florida political establishment by surprise. Ron DeSantis then wins the Florida primary convincingly by double digits. We'll get the final tallies. Going from down 40 to winning by double digits, Ron DeSantis then runs up against Andrew Gillum, who had the support of Barack Obama, who had the support of Bill Clinton, who had the support of all the Democrat establishment, and Ron DeSantis narrowly beat Andrew Gillum. Narrowly. So what's the moral of that story? Donald Trump as a kingmaker saved the state of Florida. Donald Trump just saying, I endorse you and not you, is the reason why Florida is the most prosperous, free, and open state in the entire country. What a great blueprint for Donald Trump to follow in the next year, year and a half. What a great example to say, I am going to pick the superstars of tomorrow. And whether he runs again or not is an unknown. But I can tell you this, seeing his focus, seeing his attention on what's happening in American politics, he's not going away. But wouldn't it be amazing if Donald Trump says, I want more Ron DeSantis? I want more people like that in positions of power? That's a very exciting prospect to get behind. We're talking about the state of Florida. So many people are moving here, including Democrats. You know, we were hanging out in Miami Beach the other day. No, not on the beach. Okay, we were in Miami Beach. We were going from meeting to meeting, met with some phenomenal people, starting businesses, moving businesses. In fact, I met with two people that had moved their multi-billion dollar portfolios, family assets, and residency down to Miami. Pretty remarkable. From New York. So while Andrew Cuomo is being investigated, accused, and attacked, Ron DeSantis is being platformed to become president. It's a pretty amazing juxtaposition. And politics aside, you know success based on the movement of people. The way people move, they will vote with their movement. They'll vote with their pocketbook, but most importantly, they'll vote with their feet. Laboratories of democracy, as Louis Brandeis said. So you can be an ardent Democrat, Chuck Schumer supporter, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez rally attending Democrat, but cut it out as soon as you move your business down to the free state of Florida. Now, the point that I'm making is that Donald Trump being heavily involved in American politics can be a force for good. So if you are a fan of Ron DeSantis, which I know many of you are, is thanks to Donald Trump. But let's go through the numbers. Ron DeSantis won the primary, thanks to Trump's endorsement, by 20 points. 913,000 votes to 591,000 votes. The general election, which was very tight, versus the, let's say, very complicated man of Andrew Gillum. Andrew Gillum, who's a criminal. And a liar. I kid you not. 33,000 votes separated the two of them. And Ron DeSantis won. And that was with a corrupt Miami-Dade County. And that was with corrupt Brenda Snipes that took forever to count the ballots and bring the ballots in. And Ron DeSantis fired her on day one. Well, I don't know if it was day one, but it was in the first couple of days of his administration. And so Ron DeSantis is someone we've talked about quite a lot on this program. And I was just in Sarasota with my family. I've been all over Florida, actually. I've been in every major city in Florida in the last 2 weeks except Jacksonville and Tallahassee. And I was a believer before I came to Florida. But when I start to talk to cobblers, do you know what a cobbler is? Someone who fixes shoes. That's a term I had not used in a while. I went to a cobbler, actually, to get one of my shoes fixed. That's why I knew. When I talk to a cobbler and I ask him, I said, how's business? And he looks at me and he says, I would not exist if the economy was not open and Ron DeSantis is not governor. And I said, have you been in politics before? He said, I don't care about politics. I care about life, and I'm a Ron DeSantis fan. Wow. He said, I have family in New Jersey. I have family in the state of Washington. They're getting crushed, and they'll never recover. But Donald Trump's endorsement of DeSantis made that possible. And so in my meeting with Trump yesterday, I can tell you he wants to be heavily involved in the selection of candidates. And the more people that are courageous, intelligent, sharp, that he can get behind, the better. And I'm going to do everything I possibly can to try and assist President Trump with his movement, with his followers, to influence the party for good, influence the conservative movement around these types of candidates. To give an idea, if Ron DeSantis would not have beat Andrew Gillum, 33,000 votes. Florida would be locked down just like the state of Nevada. Nevada is completely and totally closed. I think the casinos finally reopened. But I could tell you, I know people that own massive businesses in Vegas, and they've been crushed. Even Georgia is still having trouble reopening. Arizona, Texas. Florida was the earliest and the most bold when it came to restaurant reopenings, beach openings, and school openings. South Dakota as well, but South Dakota did not have the population mass that Florida has. Not even close. South Dakota, I think, might be the second most populated, or it might be like 40 out of 50 when it comes to population. I think it's Wyoming, then South Dakota. I could be wrong. It's right near there. But Florida was a bold move. And Florida has a more urban population than New York. And it worked. Who do you want, America? Do you want someone like Cuomo or DeSantis? Well, you only get a DeSantis with a kingmaker that knows a leader when they see it. I am a believer that the biggest threat to your success is you. I'm a big believer that the biggest problem that you must deal with is yourself. Your own choices, taking responsibility for your actions, living a full and good life is on you, not on the circumstances around you. But there still are existential threats at times. It could be foreign governments. It could be corrupt politicians. It can be very difficult circumstances that you might be in. And yes, it could also be a big conglomerate of companies. And so these big tech companies need to be called out. We need to make the argument that it is not conservative to support multi-trillion dollar companies that want to destroy our way of life and thwart the will of Western civilization. I will say in my speech, and you can see it in its entirety on YouTube, but since we have a good relationship here, I want to give you a little preview. I'm going to say, if you do not support breaking up and challenging the tech companies, you are not a conservative. You are a corporatist. You are someone that wants to protect the trillionaire class. And I'm all for capitalism. I love entrepreneurship. I think that value creation, starting something from nothing, is one of the most beautiful aspects of a free market economy. Pulling yourself up from the bootstraps. I have said what Dennis Prager has said his entire life. My favorite word in the English language is earn. E-A-R-N. I love the word earn. It's a uniquely American phrase. I earned this. I'm going to talk about why there is no Bill of Rights when it comes to tech companies, and how the tech companies on a daily basis violate half the Bill of Rights. I'm going to talk about how the idea of a private company is a red herring argument when it comes to the tech companies. And I really believe the proper framing is Menlo Park versus America. I will ask the question, who is more powerful, Google or our government? You see, conservatism should be about the protection of naturally granted God-given existence and rights, not the automatic or dogmatic defense of corporate America. That is not what conservatism is about. America is not just another colony for corporate interests to maximize their profits and move on. America is our home. It has a culture, a language, a history, a people. And when a multi-trillionaire class decides to collectivize their highly technological interests for a specific aim, we as conservatives must rise up against that. I'm also going to make the point of three words. They hate you. They hate your viewpoints. They hate your values. They hate your worldview. And they will do anything they possibly can to demolish you. So make sure you tune in on that. That's a little preview of what we have going there. But we've been talking about my meeting with President Trump at Mar-a-Lago. People seem very interested in this. When I posted the social media picture of Trump and I at Mar-a-Lago, I've gotten more texts, more emails. What did he say? What's he thinking? What's going on? More so than when I even met with him at the Oval Office. What'd you say? What were the topics of discussion? Look, my big thing was, and this is something that we've been trying to talk about here on this program for quite some time, which is stay positive. Be optimistic. The Democrat Party is a nasty, dark party. They're always complaining. They're talking about destruction. Everything is awful. You wear a mask when you shower. You wear two masks when you go out in public. I mean, people are yearning for that optimistic, positive breakthrough. And that's part of what I was trying to communicate to President Trump, which is be the cheerleader for America and be the happy, joyful warrior, metaphorical, of course, can't even say that anymore without someone coming after it, in juxtaposition with the Democrats that just seem to want to complain about everything. And so there's a very valid concern about how we do elections in this country. It's the number one concern of the conservative base. Number one. It is the question I get asked more than any other question. I just finished a dinner with some dear friends of mine. And the number one question is, Charlie, should we ever vote again? Charlie, will we ever get our elections back? Charlie, what can we do? And so instead of former President Trump saying everything is terrible, everything is awful, we lost, we got stolen, and there might be some legitimacy to that argument. Instead, talk about solutions, signature verification. What they did in Georgia is some good news. It's a good step. It's a step in the right direction. It's not everything. We did an entire podcast on that. I think it's Senate Bill 67. That was what it was. We have such an opportunity. You see, the Democrats used to be the more positive party than the Republicans. You remember back to Barack Obama. He was always, not when he was president as much, but when he was candidate Obama, he kind of got into this, we can do this, we can build, we can thrive, we can succeed. And I got to admit, as a free market, conservative, constitutional guy, I was even won over by some of Obama's energy and charisma. And Mr. Producer is nodding his head and he said, I was too. I think that was Obama's at his best. Obviously, I disagreed with almost every public policy proposal. I think he was a failure as president. The point is that the Democrats were attractive. The Democrats were successful. The more positive Obama was. The more negative Obama got, the less appealing he was. The more Obama complained, the more Obama pointed at Fox News and said, it's all Fox News' problem, he lost appeal. The more professorial he became. You saw that Barack Obama came out and he's arguing for reparations. Do you see this? Now, this is a complete and total side note that I did not plan on go here. But isn't Obama half white? So should he pay reparations to himself? How does that work? Am I allowed to talk about this? This is like political correct no-fly zone, right? We are in a no-fly zone when it comes to political correct right now. So Obama's very rich. So who does he pay reparations to? The point is, I'm not really even sure the point of that. I just, stream of consciousness. But here's the point, is that Obama, when he was positive, not negative. So Obama, instead of talking about black empowerment, talking about lifting people up, I think Obama's become radicalized in recent years. And so the more radical a Democrat politician is publicly, the more negative they are by definition. They have to be against whatever power structure currently exists. And so the more positive Trump is, the more optimistic he is, the more forward-thinking he is, the more solution-oriented he is, the better. And when politicians decide to go against President Trump, what happens? Mitch McConnell has an approval rating 29 points lower than it was on election day. 29 points. Over 73% of all Republicans that were polled believe that President Biden's election was not legitimate. And so this is a great opportunity. It also is something that I think President Trump could get hung up on if he is not talking about elevating candidates that care about election reform, care about middle class prosperity, care about giving a voice to the muscular class. It's critically important. And that's basically the main point of our conversation, or it was when I sat down with him. It's the more positive, the better. The more solution-oriented, the better. Because it's his party. Even Mitt Romney admits it's his party. Mitt Romney came out and said, well, this is Donald Trump's party. And even my small little sliver of the party doesn't stand a chance to really win in the Republican Party today. I'm paraphrasing. But basically, Mitt Romney admitted that he would lose in a landslide in the primary. Don't be surprised if Mitt Romney runs for president in 2024. Don't be surprised. He would love the attention. He would love the virtue signaling. He would love the praise and defeat. He would enjoy all of it. He would love the long Washington Post puff pieces. You know why? Because Mitt Romney is trying to win the approval of an abusive parent. It's like someone who is in an abusive relationship. Mitt Romney was abused by the media in 2012. So instead of standing up to them, instead of treating them like the bully they are, Mitt Romney, who they slandered as saying that he drove around with dogs on the top of his car, he said the trees were the right height in Michigan, the 47% comment. Everything Mitt Romney has done since has been trying to say, please like me. I'm a good person. I know you didn't mean that stuff, but please like me. When in reality, Mitt Romney should have become more hardened by that experience. Mitt Romney should have saw who those people really were. Where Mitt Romney, deep down, always wanted to win the approval of the Harvard, Yale, Princeton, Stanford class in our country. The intelligentsia. With the ever-increasing number of makes and models, the Fiat, Kia, and models such as the Pacific XT5, it is now impossible to stock all the parts you need in a traditional chain storefront. Why endure often pointless or just, quite honestly, irrelevant and intimidating questioning from people that want to fix your car? Why wait while the counterman orders the parts on his computer? Well, here's the cool thing. I am now offering you a way to get all the parts you need. Why would you choose to spend 30, 50, or 100% more on the exact same auto part at a chain store than on a new car dealership? Chain stores have different price tiers for professional mechanics and do-it-yourselfers. RockAuto.com prices are the same for everybody and are reliably low. RockAuto.com always offers the lowest prices possible rather than changing prices based on what the market will bear like airlines do. RockAuto.com is for everybody. That's right, everyone. It does not require a membership or account login. RockAuto.com is a family business serving auto parts customers online for 20 years. Go to RockAuto.com to shop for auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers. They have everything from engine and control modules, brake parts to tail lamps, motor oil, and even new carpet. Whether it's your classic or daily driver, get everything you need in just a few clicks. So go to RockAuto.com, write Charlie Kirk in there, how did you hear about us section. So if you guys have any parts to your car and you want to support our podcast that you might need, parts to your car you might need, go to rockauto.com, use the promo code Charlie Kirk to how did you hear about us, and let them know that we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need, rockauto.com. I want to get to some questions here that were emailed to us, freedom@charliekirk.com. Lily says, hi, Charlie. My name is Lily. I'm 16 years old, and I'm a frequent listener of the Charlie Kirk Show in Texas. Thank you for listening. A leftist friend of mine believes socialism is the only way to prevent poverty and uses the model of socialism of Nordic countries to back up her point. I was wondering how their system differs from other socialist countries. On a different note, I was wondering your opinion of taxpayer dollars going towards FAFSA. Thanks. Well, Lily, this is a great question, and rest assured, you are not the first person to encounter the Nordic socialism question. We've talked about this at great length, and we've posted a couple videos about it, but here's the long and short of it. Part of the Scandinavian model is actually more pro-free market than the American model. According to the World Economic Freedom Index, Norway, Sweden, Finland, when it comes to small business creation, is more economically free. They do have higher taxes, but their regulatory environment has a higher likelihood of being able to start businesses. So this idea that they're completely socialist is a little bit of a false start. It's a misnomer. Rand Paul even talked about this in his book, The Case Against Socialism, where the head of the Denmark government said, stop calling us socialist to Bernie Sanders. The book is called Debunking Utopia, Exposing the Myth of Nordic Socialism. Number two is that Norway, Sweden, Finland traditionally was able to find some form of model that worked because they had incredibly strict immigration. They had immigration levels that they were able to maintain and control. That is not something that the modern Democrat Party wants to entertain anymore. The modern Democrat Party wants complete and total open borders. Norway, which has the largest sovereign wealth fund on the planet, $1 trillion, has it largely because of oil and natural gas. Another thing that the left hates. Do you know that Sweden has full and total school choice? Something that the left also hates in this country. They want complete and total government-run schools. They do not want any form of school choice. And look, Milton Friedman, one of his main messages was that you can either have open borders or socialism, not both. That was his argument. And so there are aspects of the Scandinavian model that I think work really well. How they embrace small business, free enterprise. How they have always valued what it means to be a citizen of their country. How they take ownership of their country. I think that's really admirable. How they believe their country is not just a random place on the map that can be exploited by corporate interests. I think that's actually something really admirable. I think they take it too far, to be honest with you. Taxes are too high for my liking. I think that the culture that brings down success and ambition, especially in Norway, goes too far. But I think there's some things that actually they do well. There's some things I think they do horrific. Healthcare, for example. Their idea of clamping down on ambition. The idea to look to government to solve your problems. Those things I think that the Scandinavian countries do poorly. But also, they have extra resources. Why do they have extra resources? Why do the Scandinavian countries have extra resources? They don't have to pay for a military. That's why. They do not have to pay for a military because the United States of America subsidizes socialism in Europe by stationing our troops in Germany and funding most of NATO. Now, Donald Trump changed a lot of this by actually getting the European countries to participate in NATO. And just so we're all clear, in truth, most Nordic countries have actually reduced the size of government services and taxation in recent years because it was hurting economic growth. So there's some parts of the Nordic model I do not like. There's some parts that we could actually learn from. Now, the Nordic countries or the Scandinavian countries are Norway, Sweden, Finland, Denmark. Those are the four Scandinavian countries. But Sweden is screwing it up now. Sweden is opening up their borders completely, and they're paying a huge price for it, and many people in Sweden are regretting it. So if they want to bring Nordic socialism here, that means they believe in using oil and gas, oil and natural gas, school choice, and closing our borders. That is at direct odds with everything the Democrat Party stands for. Thanks so much for listening, everybody. Email us your questions, freedom@charliekirk.com. And please consider supporting us at charliekirk.com/support. God bless. Speak to you soon.